I love this month of November, Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And I was just amazed at how quickly it changed the last 3 weeks. When Brother David first got here, our leaves had turned colors on our tree, and mulberry tree in the front yard, but they hadn't fallen. But by the time he left, a lot of them are on the ground, and it's just so beautiful right now. But it's not going to be fun raking them out. That's something that's coming. But I'm thankful for fall and Thanksgiving. Trying to get used to the time change, getting dark so early. Seems like we should all be in bed right now, a long time ago. I'll try to keep you awake tonight. Tonight we're going to be looking at the importance of having a grateful heart. With this being the month of Thanksgiving, I want to reflect a little bit upon what it means to be grateful. We all know that it's polite for us to say thank you, but do we really understand what it means? Do we really understand the importance of being grateful and what it means to us spiritually? Tonight we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at why it's so important to our spiritual life to have a heart full of gratitude. I want to begin reading in verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 14. Verse 3 down through verse 14 says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I want you to notice in verse 3 and verse 12 that verb, give thanks, or giving thanks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time of the year, that the changing of the season. Lord, it's always good for us to have a change, and especially when in our spiritual life we also make changes and to grow and to come closer to you. Father, we're thankful that this is the time of the year that we're reminded to be thankful, to give thanks. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to see how important it is to our spiritual life as believers to have a grateful heart. Lord, there's so much that we're unaware of behind the scenes, how you're working in our lives and for our good, for your glory. God, I pray that you'd just make us aware of all the blessings and all the things that you're doing in and through us. God, we pray you'd bless your word tonight and use it to speak and challenge our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verb is found twice in this introduction to this letter to Colossae, the church at Colossae. It's rendered give thanks in verse 3 and verse 12, giving thanks. And it comes from the Greek word eucharistio. You've probably heard of the Eucharist. Some churches call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist. But this word, it means to be grateful. Or it means feeling thankful. And so I want you to understand that it not only expresses the idea of giving thanks, expressing it verbally, but it goes much deeper than that. It speaks of a state of being. It speaks of being thankful, feeling thankful. For example, you can give thanks but not feel thankful. I mean, think about that. I mean, we've been taught since we were a kid to say thank you. And sometimes we do it just out of habit. We just say it. Or sometimes we do it grudgingly. Well, thank you. You know, but we don't really feel it. We don't really have a grateful heart. But I want you to understand that the verb that Paul uses in this passage, it's more than just expressing thanksgiving, but it speaks of Paul being thankful, being grateful. He had a heart full of gratitude. And so what we're looking at tonight is the importance of having a grateful heart, being truly grateful, feeling grateful. You know, when your heart is full of gratitude, it's gonna be expressed by what you say. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's a verse in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. This is what Jesus said. He said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So whatever is in your heart is going to eventually be spoken by your words. And so I want you to think about this for just a minute. What has been flowing out of your mouth these last few days? I mean, just stop and think about it. Because whatever's been flowing out of our mouth is what's in our heart. And it's pretty convicting to think about that, but you know, it may be that we're talking more about our problems in life than the blessings that God has given us. Maybe we're looking at a glass that's half empty rather than a glass that's half full. Maybe we're just got a negative spirit, negative heart. We're not grateful. We're not feeling grateful. And when we're not feeling grateful, I want to just say that it has a tremendous effect on you spiritually. It really does. We'll probably look more fully into this next Wednesday night on the effects of that, but we'll cover some of it tonight. But the theme tonight is this: why is it so important to be grateful? Why is it so important to be grateful? I want to just give a little bit of background before we look at these verses. We're not going to go very deep in these verses tonight because we don't have time, but this church at Colossae was planted by the Apostle Paul in his third missionary journey while he was in the city of Ephesus. He spent 3 years in Ephesus, according to Acts chapter 19. And when you read the story about his time there in Asia Minor, it says that the word of the Lord, it spread all throughout that region. It spread from Ephesus, and Paul would make excursions to those cities around and preach the gospel along with his missionary team. And we know from verse 7 that Epaphras, he was one of Paul's disciples, and he was one that Paul sent back to Colossae to disciple these people and pastor this church, because it says here, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. I take that to mean that Epaphras was their pastor. And so, years later, Paul writes this letter from prison. He was in Rome in prison. This is one of the prison epistles. And so I want you to think about that just for a moment. Paul's in prison for his faith, and he's having to depend on others to come and give him reports about the churches and about this church. But even though his circumstances wasn't the best, and even though there were problems in this church, he had a heart full of gratitude. He had a grateful heart. He was grateful for the work that God was doing in their hearts. He begins this letter with gratitude, saying, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So you can see that Paul was thankful. He felt thankful, and he had a heart of gratitude because of what God was doing in the lives of these people at Colossae. As we get started, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about, and that is this: how would you define gratitude? How would you define gratitude? I want you to just take a moment to think about that question. What does it really look like to have a grateful heart? You know, it's important as we look at this passage that you notice what Paul doesn't say in this letter. He doesn't say, "I want to thank you," or "we want to thank you for how faithful you are to God." He's not saying that at all. He's not saying, "We want to thank you, believers at Colossae, for your faith and for your love and your hope." He doesn't say that. And I'm not saying that would have been wrong. It wouldn't be wrong. But I just want you to notice that he's thankful to the Father. He's thankful to the Father. He's drawing a direct line from what's happening in this church, what's happening in this city, to what God is doing. He's making a connection between their faith in Christ Jesus, their love for all the saints, their hope that they had through the gospel. He's connecting that to what God was doing in their lives. And then we come down to verse 12. He kind of, at the end of it, he sums it up saying, "Giving thanks to the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and light." So here in this introduction to this letter, he's expressing gratitude to God for what he's doing in this church. And I'm sure now that you might have thought of something about that question: what is gratitude, or how would you define gratitude, or what does gratitude look like? I want to give you a definition from what I see in this passage, and it's a definition that has challenged me personally, and God is using my life recently. And that is this: gratitude is seeing the connection between what is happening and what God is doing. I'll say that again. Gratitude is seeing the connection between what is happening and what God is doing. I'm going to kind of explain that as we go along. I'll give an illustration in just a moment. But let me just look at the opposite of it real quickly. To be ungrateful is to see things that are happening and make no connection to God. In other words, you're going through life. Things are happening in your life, whether they're good or whether they're bad. But you're not making any connection to God. You're not aware of God's work in your life, His hand in your life. Let me give you an illustration that I used Sunday in the message. The message on Sunday morning when we looked at the faith of Israel at the Red Sea. We looked at how God led Israel out of Egypt. He redeemed them from bondage. It was through the blood of the Lamb. And how through a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, God led them. And it's very clear when you read Exodus 14, especially those first four verses, that God led them to the place right there before the Red Sea. And it was there that the Egyptians saw that they were shut in. And the Egyptians decided to go after them because they looked at Israel as being helpless and lost in the wilderness, shut in. And so when the Israelites saw these armies coming, they cried out in fear. They cried out to God. They were sorely afraid, the Bible says. What was the problem? The problem is that they missed seeing God at work. They missed seeing that connection between what was happening and what God was doing. Even though God had told Moses, even though God had led them there, they didn't see it. Now, we know, because we know the story, we've read the story, we know that God was working. He was setting a trap for the Egyptian army. He was going to destroy him. God was not only setting a trap, but He was growing Israel's faith, because He was going to show them. He was like revealing Himself to them in His mighty power. This is what I can do for you. I can get you out of impossible situations. Here you are, you're shut in. You got the Red Sea, you got all these chariots coming, of Pharaoh's chariots. But I'm going to reveal how big I am. I'm going to show you something so big. I'm going to deliver you. And I'm going to destroy your enemies, and you're not going to see them anymore. That's what God was doing. And in the end, He was going to make sure that everyone knew that He was the Lord. He was going to be glorified in it. But see, Israel missed that. They didn't have a grateful heart. I mean, He just redeemed them out of Egypt. But they were not grateful. Because remember what they told Moses? Why did you bring us out here? Why didn't you just leave us alone? Like we told you. It'd be better if we were still serving the Egyptians. You know, they were complaining. They were not grateful what God had done for them. I mean, He broke them out of bondage. He freed them as slaves. But they didn't have a grateful heart. They didn't see. They didn't make this connection between what was happening in their life to what God was doing. And so gratitude is seeing the connection between what is happening and what God is doing. That's a challenging thought, really. Because it challenges me every day to be looking at things with that in mind. Because I know who God is. If you're saved and you're walking with the Lord and you've studied the Bible, you know who God is. And you know what He's done for you. We sang about His salvation, what He's done for us in saving us and sending His Son Jesus to die for us. And I mean, that's probably the greatest thing that He's done for us. But because of that, we're His children. We belong to Him. And He loves us. And He is at work in our lives. There's never a moment that He's not working. There's never a moment that He's not seeking to draw us near to Him, that He's not seeking to sanctify us, to make us and mold us into the image of His Son Jesus. There's not a moment He's not doing that. I think there was a verse that we shared. Yeah, I was in Connect, Philippians 1:6, where it talks about that Paul said that he was confident of this very thing, that He which had begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is convinced that when God begins the work of salvation, He's going to finish it. He's going to finish that work. And so I want you to think about that, that when we look at life, whatever's happening in our life, that it's God at work. And my wife and I, we've had some things happen with one of our daughters, and I share a little bit about that in Connect, that story's still going, and it really helps me when I look at it through these lens, that God is at work, that these trials that she's going through is the hand of God. And that's encouraging to me. I'm thankful for that. You know, another way that we could think about gratitude is this: amazement with God. Amazement with God. Gratitude is amazement with God. The idea, the mindset that when we can make that connection to what's happening in our lives, to what God is doing personally for us, it leads to amazement. It leads us back to wonder and worship, to stand amazed at who God is. You know, we started out the song tonight, the hymn, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene." That's what gratitude is. When your heart's full of gratitude for what He's done for you, there's amazement, there's wonder, there's worship as you ponder the goodness of God that you've received from Him. And as you think about the grace of God at work, sanctifying your life to His glory. I don't know if this is challenging your thinking, but I hope it is. To be grateful is to see that connection. To be grateful is to have that response to every situation in our life, good and bad. It's the right response to who God is and what He is doing in your life. That's what gratitude is. It's the right response to who God is and what He's doing in your life. You may not see it now. It may be that it's a bad situation. It may be a hard situation. There are plenty of those in the life of every Christian. There's situations that we don't understand. There's situations where we don't have the answers to the questions. And a lot of times that we're ungrateful because we've allowed in those times bitterness to creep in. Because we start focusing on the bad, we start focusing on all the circumstances and forget who God is. That He's our Father. He's our Shepherd. "I shall not want." Psalm 23:1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We forget those things. We forget that He's our shield. We forget that He's our refuge. We forget that He loves us. And when we forget those things, we're not grateful for those things, and it starts having an effect on us spiritually, because when we get bitter, we start turning away from God. We start spreading that bitterness through our words to others. It starts affecting others around us, our family members, and bitterness is a poison. And that's what ingratitude will do. It will poison you spiritually. It really has a horrible effect. And next week we'll talk more about that in Romans chapter 1. And when we're not thankful, what happens? We'll talk more about that. But I just want you to see tonight that the right response to the things that are happening in our life should be based on who God is and what He's doing. We should look at everything that way. If it's a hard situation, God, I know that You're sovereign. God, I know that You led us to this place. I know that You love me. I know that Your word says all things work together for good to them that love You, them that are the called according to Your purpose. I believe that, God. I believe that there's something You're doing in my life. You know, when you have that perspective and we can be thankful and we can be humble about it and we can pray about it, it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. Let me also say this, that a lack of gratitude is bad theology. But it goes deeper than that. It's actually idolatry. Let's look at that first thought. It's bad theology because I just said it's a right response to who God is. When you're ungrateful, you have bad theology. I mean, bottom line, bad theology. You need to get in the Word. You need to draw near to God. You need to get to know God. And notice what Paul's praying for here. He's praying that they would grow and or be filled with the knowledge, in verse 9, of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's praying that. And in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And notice this, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He was praying for them to grow in their knowledge of God. And as we grow in our knowledge of God, our faith grows. When we have good theology, we're going to be grateful. When you really know who God is, you're going to be grateful. When you really understand who He is, there's going to be gratitude. When you really understand what He's done, there's going to be gratitude. But I want to make this thought that it's also idolatry, and we'll explore that more next week, but ingratitude is when we think that somehow we deserve something better, something different than what God has given us. That's what we're basically saying. When we're not thankful, we're saying, well, we deserve something better than this God. Why this God? We deserve better than that. Something different than this. It all comes back to idolatry, where we start, it's all about I. It's all about me and my than what God wants and God's will for our lives. So here in this opening chapter of this book, Paul's drawing a direct line between what's happening in the church and God's grace in them. Because you look in verse 4 through 6 again. He talks about their faith, their love, their hope. He talks about how that the gospel that had come to them, it bringeth forth fruit. I want you to think about those things just for a moment. None of those things are possible without God. I mean, they could not have had any kind of fruit, godly fruit, to the glory of God without God. I want you to think about it. It was God that sent preachers to preach to them in Colossae. It was God that burdened the heart of these preachers. It's God that moved upon them and guided them to go there and preach It was God who moved through the preaching of the gospel to work in the hearts of these individual believers to bring conviction of sin, to bring them to that place of repentance and faith in Christ. It was God that did that. It was the Holy Spirit that was doing that. It's God that spread abroad His love in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He had given to them. Romans 5:8 tells us that. God puts His love in every believer. When we get saved, that love is put in our hearts, and it comes from God. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the first one mentioned. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It was God who gave them hope through the truth of the gospel, which they had believed. It was God that brought forth fruit in their lives. You know, Paul is giving thanks to God and the Father for this, praying always for these believers because of what God was doing. He was amazed at God. Paul is giving thanks to God. He is full of gratitude to God. Then when you come to verse 9, he said, "For this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." You know, you'll notice all these things that these can only be accomplished through prayer. God working through prayer in the lives of these believers. There's no way that you can be filled with the knowledge of His will apart from the Holy Spirit. There's no way that you can walk worthy of the Lord without His help. There's no way that you can be fruitful in every good work without Him working in you and through you. You can't be increasing in the knowledge of God without God working. You can't be strengthened without His glorious power working. I mean, you see, God has to work to perform these things in us and through us. None of these are possible without Him. So while all these things are going on in the church and he's seeing what God is doing, he's connecting what's happening with what God is doing in them, and what does it do? It causes him to be grateful. It causes him to give thanks to God. It causes him to pray more for them because of what God's doing. He's pouring out his heart in prayer because he's seeing all these amazing things that God is doing, and he wants God to continue to grow them, continue to help them. You don't see in any of this Paul commending them, but he's commending God. He's thanking God for what he's doing through them, in and through them. There's a difference. I want you to look at another verse in Colossians. Go to chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. It says here, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? What does it mean? We're to do all things in light of who He is. His name represents who He is. His name represents His character, His attributes. Do all things in light of who He is, by His command, through His power, for His glory. We're to do it for Him. You know, one of the ways that we can do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus is recognizing that all that we have and all that we are, all that we enjoy, is only because of the grace of God. Notice how he closes that out, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him, by Jesus. We're to have gratitude. We're to be grateful. We're to feel thankful because all that we have and all that we do and all that we are is because of his grace. It's what he's doing in and through us. So God wants us to recognize this connection of what's happening in our lives to what with what God is doing in our lives. What God is doing through our lives and for us, even in the hard trials of life. William Cooper, a hymn writer, he once said this, "Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face." Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And William Cooper, if you don't know his story, this is a man that struggled all of his life with depression and suicide. He attempted to take his life, I don't know how many times, many, many times. And as a believer, he struggled. And it was John Newton, the author of the hymn Amazing Grace, that took him under his wing and encouraged him and walked through life with him and encouraged him to write hymns. And William Cooper's written many hymns, hymns that we sing in church. But he said, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. He faced a lot of frowning providences in his life, but he is reminded here that he's making a connection that behind that is a smiling face, that God is working in his grace, in his life. That even behind the clouds that seem to be dark, there's grace. So the difference between a heart of gratitude and a heart of ingratitude, just as review, it's whether or not you see that connection between what is happening and what God is doing. To be ungrateful is simply to see the things that are happening and make no connection to God. Let me just give a current example. The election. I mean, it seems like things have gone pretty well for us in Texas. We're still, there are House seats up in the air. There are still Senate seats up in the air. There's still turmoil in our nation. There's still division. We're still polarized. There's still a lot of things not right. But you know, we can end the service and we can sit around and complain about our country and what's happening. Or we can see a connection between what is happening and what God's doing. Think about that. You may not see it, but knowing who God is, if you know who God is, and knowing who he is, you know he's good. You know he's merciful. You know that he's sovereign. You know that everything he's doing is according to his will. He's got a plan. There's an end game in this. There's something that he's accomplishing in this. We may not see it today. We may not see it next year. But I can guarantee you, God is working. And a grateful heart's when we can sit back and respond to the election. Well, God, thank you for what you're doing in our country. We know that you're working behind the scenes. You know, even if things were worse than they are right now, we can still see good, because God is good. There's something that God could be doing to bring more people to Christ. There could be something God to get churches to pray more, to get revival in God's people. There's all kinds of things, but I hope you can see the point. And so I want to end with two questions. Are you making the connection between what is happening and what God is doing in your life? Are you making that connection? And I'm telling you that from personal experience, it will make a difference if you will make that connection. Just remember who God is. When things look bad, when things are hard and they hurt, rehearse. I mean, if you'll look into Psalms, you'll see this. You'll see that in the lament Psalms, when David laments over things that are happening in his life, or maybe things that are happening politically in his family, and he's lamenting over these, but you'll see that a lot of these Psalms, they lead from that to rehearsing what God has done for them. And you'll find that the lament psalms end up with praise and thanksgiving to God. And the way they move from lament and deep hurt and deep pain and deep grief to move from that to praising God is a grateful heart. Recognizing who God is, what he's doing, seeing that connection, and by faith believing it. By faith believing, God, I know that you're working. I know this is your hand, and I'm going to trust you. Just like Israel, I said Sunday to Israel, God did not move the Red Sea, but he made a way through it. God may not remove the hurt, the circumstance, but he will make a way through it. It may be that he wants that there, like the thorn in the flesh for Paul, so he could see the power of Christ, so he could depend on Christ. Are you making that connection between what is happening and what God is doing? The second last question is this: do you stand in amazement of God and what he is doing in your life? Do you stand in amazement of what he's doing in your life? That's a pretty good test if your heart's full of gratitude. You're just amazed at God. When there's a heart filled with gratitude, there's worship. There's wonder. There's praise. There's pouring out and giving of thanks. And so I want to challenge you this week, this month even, just try to find daily, try to look at things through this light of gratitude. Try to make the connection. It may be hard at times, but seek for it. Get in the Word, seek for it. Say, God, I need some answers. I don't understand this. I want some answers. Pray. Pray about it. And watch God work. Watch God show you what he's doing in your life. And I guarantee you, when that happens, you'll be grateful. You'll be amazed at God. God, I never saw this coming. I never saw what you were doing. But this is amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the book of Colossians and for the Apostle Paul and his heart that was full of gratitude to you for what you were doing there, the lives of those believers in Colossae. He was making that connection, seeing that all the fruit that they were experiencing in their lives spiritually is because of what you were doing behind the scenes, working. God, I pray you'd help us to become more aware, spiritually aware of your presence in our lives and your working in our lives. And Lord, even when the clouds are really dark in our lives, we can't see your hand or we can't sense your presence, that we would then go back to our theology and what the Bible says about who you are, and go back to what we believe about you according to your word, that we would have faith to believe that you are good, even though we may not be able to see it at the moment, that you are working out your will in our lives. You are seeking to draw us closer to you. You are seeking to mold us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, help us to learn to live with hearts full of gratitude, just to be amazed and wonder at what you're doing in our lives on a daily basis. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that lives in us. That you never leave us, you never forsake us, you're always present with us. Lord, we thank you for your promises that we have. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.